Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, we're going to move on. Just before we go to the next piece of music, we're going to get into our grow model as scheduled. Everybody knows that we have to grow at some stage in our lives. We cannot just be Christians without learning things sometimes that are going to be uncomfortable for us. And that's why we have this model, so that it can help us grow. And after all, everybody eats to grow, right? The great hope still at it. Now the forgotten commandment. Joining us on the line is Pastor Lunga Machaya, joining us to give us some perspective. It's been right there in the middle of the 10, yet somehow we treat it like an optical footnote. Or is it optional? Well, why do we forget the one commandment that begins with remember? Let's unpack why the Sabbath is central to God's plan with Pastor Lunga Machaya Mfundis. Good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good day, Naye. It is an honor and a privilege to join you on the show today.
Thank you very much, Mfundis. So why do you think the fourth commandment is often overlooked, even by sincere Christians?
I think, Naye, when in Exodus chapter 8, God reminds the people that they should remember the Sabbath, it is because he knew that even the faithful Christians who know what the Sabbath requires of them, because of the world that we are in, the world of work, the world of toil, we would be committed to such that we forget the essential and important things that are important, the things that are important in our Christian journey, that is inclusive of the Sabbath. And thus God had to remind them that they should remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Because in our Christian journey, and even in the journey of the Israelites, you'd note that it was easy whenever God would call them and inform them of commandments, that this is what is required of you. It was easy for them to say, Lord, will obey. And in the entire book of Leviticus, it is an emphasis whereby God calls his people to the theme around the book, says, be holy, for your God is holy. And the children of Israel, it was easy for them to say, we will obey. But whenever life continues as they journey to that promised land, they tend to forget.
So what does it mean to remember the Sabbath in today's world?
Come again, eh?
What does it mean to remember the Sabbath in today's world?
The Sabbath in today's world, I think it is in twofold, because Exodus chapter 8 is very clear when it says that remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Sorry, Mfundis. I'm observing you're repeating it. You're saying it's Exodus chapter 8. Do you not mean Exodus chapter 20?
Chapter 20, yes, sorry.
Yes,
sorry,
all right. 20. Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. There are two streams of the Sabbath. Number one, there is the vertical Sabbath, which is one that is worship to God, honoring God. That is, remember God, acknowledging your Lord and your Savior as the creator of the universe. Now, that is to cease away from all work that I would have done. That is, anything that interests me, anything that has to do with my benefit. Now, I set it apart, and it is a day that I give glory and honor to God, acknowledging him as my Lord and Savior. That is, that's why God has set it apart that you can have an appointment with him. So we do that through fellowship with God's people. Number one, when we observe, we rest from all the work that we would naturally do during the course of the week. Then we spend it in fellowship in doing God's will on that particular day. In other words, having to worship God, ceasing from secular world things, Then number two, the second aspect, it is the vertical aspect, which is the Sabbath ought to benefit another person. I would make an example of saying, Naye, many a times you would have a person, bystanders by the road, who would go digging for bread. But the Sabbath, when the Sabbath comes, that person is supposed to say that even if I may be looking for bread to eat during the course of the week, but I know that on this particular day, there is something different that I'm going to benefit on this particular, because there are these people that take care of me. And that mannerism, that behavior, it teaches us what discipleship is. So Sabbath, it teaches us what discipleship is all about, so that same behavior is the same behavior that we ought to carry throughout the course of the week. Therefore, more than Sabbath observance has to do with setting free the other who has no knowledge of who God is. So, in other words, you cannot go to church and worship God and you say that you are resting on Sabbath, whilst there's a person who's restless because you did not forgive them, and say you are resting on Sabbath. But the other one is not resting. Is not resting. They are restless, so they're not benefiting on the gift of the Sabbath. You cannot go to Sabbath, and when you go to the Sabbath to worship God, you go heavy burdened, because the Sabbath is a time where we get to say, I cease from worrying. Even on Sabbath, the Desire of Ages puts it very beautifully that Sabbath is a time where we can even change our prayer, because when we come to the Sabbath, we receive a double portion of blessings, and we can say, Lord, I no more request, but I say thank you, because I know that on this particular day, there is a double portion of blessings. So for modern Adventists today, and for modern people, when it comes to Sabbath observance, people that have no knowledge of God, to them, Sabbath is supposed to be a jubilee, and it's supposed to be a jubilee through us who understand what Sabbath is all about. They are supposed to say that there is something unique about this day that we do not get on any other particular day. It is indeed a day that is blessed, because we are able to see Jesus feeding us. We are able to see Jesus speaking to us. We are able to see Jesus coming down to us through the people who observe the Sabbath. At times, I would make a personal testimony that I used to have. I used to be at Helderberg College as a student there, and there was this lady. Every Sabbath, she would have a basket of fruit, a fruit basket, and she would have a card, and she would write a little message there of encouragement. And on this particular Sabbath, I was so frustrated because I was frustrated with regards to my registration on campus. And she happened to pass by, and she gave me this fruit of basket. And on that fruit of basket, there was a card. And on the card was written the text, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you. It was not a text that was, it was not a text that was unfamiliar to me. It was familiar, but on that particular day, it had a different impact on me, because the state which I was in, even if anyone could say anything, it wouldn't have mattered, because I was very frustrated. But the act that came with the text, it kind of soothed me. And I was like, you know what? God really knows the plans he has for me. So I should not be worried. Now, if I was able to be a recipient of such love on Sabbath by a person who has knowledge of the gift of the Sabbath, then giving such a gift to one who also has knowledge of the Sabbath, how much more to a person who has no knowledge of the Sabbath but is able to receive such a gift every Sabbath for a person who observes a Sabbath in the modern day. So the Sabbath in itself, it is a day that Sabbath, we're not supposed, as modern Sabbath observers, we are not supposed to preach the Sabbath. We're not supposed to teach the Sabbath more in terms of what we say and how Sabbath is ought to be observed, but we ought to do so by our actions. Then people are going to say, indeed, this day is unique. Indeed, this day is a blessed day. This day is a day that is not like any other day. And I can see it in how these people conduct themselves on this particular day. So in other words, when we observe the Sabbath, we showcase a foretaste of what the future heavens would be. And also, as we do that, it also works in us, in transforming us as the observers of the Sabbath to be true disciples of Christ in our daily lives.
So how does the Sabbath connect to our identity as children of God?
Thank you, Naye. First of all, you would note that when God creates humanity, he creates them and set apart. And when he sets them apart, when he creates them, he says he should work the ground and everything else. Then he sets this particular day, a day that he has an appointment, that God has an appointment with humanity. So this day associates myself with God. It's a day that I have been invited into to have time with the creator of the universe. So in other words, you can say that the Sabbath is a time when the king invites the princesses and the princess of the royal priesthood to come and dine with him. So that gives us an identity of us having an association and relation with the master.
Okay. So what misconceptions exist around Sabbath observance, Mfundis?
There are so many misconceptions. There are so many misconceptions, Naye. The first of them all is that, number one, people say that we worship the Sabbath. That's misconception number one, that those who observe the Sabbath, they honor the Sabbath more than they observe the commandments of the God of the Sabbath. There might be some truth there. Biblically, there's no misconception of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is as it is, as is written in the Bible. However, it might be that those that honor the Sabbath, they do so to an extent that they neglect the neighbor. Now, which creates a misconception to others that we worship the Sabbath more than we worship the God of the Sabbath. Number two, there is another misconception that those who worship the Sabbath, they eat cold food. We don't warm our food. So the understanding is that Adventists only eat cold food on the Sabbath. So that's another misconception that people have about the Sabbath, which is not true, because biblically, we need to understand the time gap that existed between then, when the text was actually written, given to those who are to observe the Sabbath, and the modern context in which we live in today. Now, going to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember that what is prohibited there, it is work. You are not to labor. Now, in the olden century, in the olden days, for one to be able to prepare a meal for them, they needed to be sweat, because one, you would have to go and chop down wood, you have to work, you have to make fire. So that requires one to work, that requires toil. But now in the modern day, it is different, because now you would remember that we are living in a time where there are microwaves, and therefore I don't need to go and chop down wood and prepare fire, so I can just put the food in the microwave and be able to warm the food. So So Sabbath observance has nothing to do with warm or cold food, because other people they make warm and cold food as a biblical principle that comes with the Sabbath. And I think one other thing that I must touch on with regards to the identity of those who observe the Sabbath. In Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12, God says to his people there, I give also them my Sabbath as a sign between us, so that as a sign of the covenant of relationship between myself and God, and so that they may know that I am the Lord, their God. So that is the relationship that we have with God. It is a relationship that says that we have it. So the Sabbath comes and says that we have a relationship with God, and it is a day that we ought to spend with him. However, as we do that, we need to put into consideration the times that we are living in, that there is a time gap period that is in existence between the time the text was given and the modern time in which we live in today.
Final question, Funes, and I'll let you go. How can the Sabbath serve as a solution to modern resentment and modern disfigurement, modern hurt, all the restlessness we're experiencing in modern times? How can the Sabbath serve as a solution to all of that?
Thank you, Nate. The time that we are living in today, it is a time where there is a lot of injustice. It is a time where you find that there is more that is being said in terms of what needs to be done. However, there is nothing that is being done. So the Sabbath comes and readdresses injustices. The Sabbath speaks to the marginalized. The Sabbath speaks to the poor. The Sabbath addresses poverty, because during the week you have a doctor, during the week you have a lawyer, during the week you have a teacher, during the week you have the poor, during the week you've got the clergy. But when we go to the Sabbath, we all become equal. There is no doctor, there is no poor, there is no rich. We all become equal. So the Sabbath addresses inequality within society. Number two, the Sabbath addresses poverty. When we approach the Sabbath, when we prepare food for the Sabbath, we ought to also think of those that are on the streets. If we go to church, spend the whole day doing programs that are there for our own edification, that has nothing to do with the benefit and redressing the social ease of society, then we're not fully in observance of the Sabbath in relation to the aspect of the neighbor, because the Sabbath has two elements. There's the worship aspect that is directed to God. Then there's the second aspect that is directed to the neighbor. So when the Sabbath is fully observed, the neighbor has to benefit. If the neighbor does not benefit, then it is not fully observed. It is partially observed, because when the Sabbath comes, it is Christ coming to the communities, Christ addressing the social issues. That is why you'd find that on the Sabbath, Christ was able to go out to the communities, despite the fact that he would go to the synagogue according to his custom. But though that was the fact, if there was one who was ill, he did not leave him lying there, because the Sabbath requires one to also assist the neighbor, to remember the neighbor, so that it may be a blessing to all. Remember that the Sabbath, it is a time that we acknowledge God as the creator of the universe. It is not supposed to be acknowledged by those who observed it, but all those who are in the universe, because Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all its inhabitants. So everyone is supposed to be a beneficiary of the blessings of the Sabbath. Everyone is supposed to receive a double portion of blessing on the Sabbath, because they are all the works of the Master. And that is ought to happen through those who have a deep understanding of what the Sabbath is and how the Sabbath is ought to observe. But it will not be the case if those who don't understand the Sabbath and only understand the Sabbath in its spiritual aspect, that is to say, in only going to church, singing hymns of praise, then going out and without having benefited the community. But if we understand the two elements of the Sabbath, that is the vertical Sabbath and the horizontal aspect of the Sabbath, then we have fully grasped what the Sabbath is all about and how the Sabbath can be able to address the social issues within our communities.
All right, Pastor Lunga Machai, thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further, sir.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.